Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to another show of Keeping It Brief. And so glad that Blog Talk Radio is back on track. And we'll be able to keep up with our shows now. And so happy to be Monday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time here, and to be with you on this show, Keeping It Brief. And and we have a lot of people on with us today. So let's go ahead and welcome first my beautiful co-host, Diane. Hi, Diane. How are you?
Hello, my friend. I am doing awesome and really enjoyed hearing that intro song. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, back to our what do you call that? Back to our normal things.
Yeah. Yeah. Normal as we can get, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. You have a nice holiday, Diane?
Oh, Naomi, it was good, but I got sick, and I'm just getting over it now. I was down 10 days with this bad virus and can just like respiratory and stuff. It was pretty.
I had the stomach flu last week. Just before, you know, I headed off to the cottage. We had rented this cottage, you know, like I don't know, back in the summer, I think we had reserved it. And, you know, just a couple of days before driving, you know, in a 7-hour drive down, I got the stomach flu and I went, oh, no. I'm going anyway, you know. But I'm okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still feeling a little wheezy, you know, so, but so I'm getting over it. But, I had a great weekend. We had a great weekend with all the family, all the kids together, all the granddaughters. It was superb. And Miriam's on with us. Hi, Miriam.
Here I am. I'll be on for a little while. I've got another show I promised later on tonight.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're happy to have you. And we have Barb on us, Puddles 33. Hello.
Hey, how are you doing? Good to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy. And you're visiting in Canada, you told me.
I am visiting Mom and Dad in the home I grew up in, so lots of poetry props happening daily here.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, my gracious. Nothing like being back home, eh? Your
feeling.
Mom and Dad. Yeah. And do we have somebody else? Do we have Wayne on with us? Oh, maybe not yet. So anyway, well, we'll go ahead and not yet. Pam says not yet. Sends me a message, not yet, Naomi. Whoa, hold on, dear horses. Okay, so Diane, well, we have 10 carryovers from the last show. Oh, my gracious, that show with Hodgepodge. And we have rights from, you know, I just ran a little contest on the side with people's pre-writes from Brevity pre-writes from 2023, just you know, to add in a few writes. So whenever you're ready, Diane, you can start us off with the first write, and if you want me to put them in Brevity Writers, I can put them in or whatever you want there.
Well, I am able to put them in both rooms. That's not a problem.
Okay.
What I need to know
Super.
Is I just need a recap of who's on with us. There's myself, you, and Miriam, but I think I missed someone.
And Barb. And, well, you can call her Puddles.
Okay. Puddles 3, or Puddles 33, which, who I'm...
Yeah,
that's
now
it.
I know.
33,
yeah.
Right on. All righty. Well, I just posted in both rooms What Our Friendship Has Become by Ashini Creations. And Miriam, would you like to start that one off for us?
Well, I'd love to. What Our Friendship Has Become. With the tools of deep communication and interest, we went on a mission to carve a friendship so in sync that even in our silence, our hearts spoke to each other, deep tales we both understood. I thought we would last the test of time, but somehow obstacles crept in, obstacles that were insurmountable, obstacles that severely broke our understanding, obstacles our friendship could not stand up to, obstacles that carved us into masterpieces. possessing a lack of understanding of each other's silence and a lack of understanding each other's words. So now we don't even speak with words.
What a wonderful read that was, Miriam. And, you know, what a superb write Oshini did on friendship. You know, friendship that doesn't last. And, you know, a lot of times, I've known this a lot over the years. You know, I'm almost like, I don't talk with people that I went to school with. I'm maybe friends with them on Facebook. Well, friends, you know, friends that don't talk anymore. They're more like just there, you know. We like each other's stuff, but we don't talk. But, you know, I think, you know, something really happened in this poem. Obstacles, she talks about obstacles, you know, that were insurmountable. You know, obstacles that severely broke our understanding. Obstacles our friendship could not stand up to. Obstacles that carved us into masterpieces. You know, when I see that masterpieces, well, we become each our own person. In a way, we become like pieces on a masterpiece on a chessboard that we move around with our own lives and our own little squares and, you know, our own things that are happening, our own moves. Our own whatever pawns or, you know, you know, just an amazing write, you know, on friendship here and, you know, the miscommunication that happens so often. And, you know, I really like this poem and, you know, it's very relatable to many, many people. What did you think, Puddles, of this poem?
Well, I have two main thoughts. Overall, I quite enjoyed it. In particular, I loved how she mirrored the beginning and the end of this relationship, saying that in the beginning that they carved a friendship so in sync that even in our silence, our hearts spoke to each other. And then by the end of it, through time, a lack of understanding each other's words. So now we don't even speak with words. And just before that, possessing a lack of understanding of each other's silence. So they have gone through a really hard journey. But when you were reading, or when Miriam was reading the obstacles, I did track and field when I was in high school, and I did the hurdles. So that's where, you know, you're getting to this barricade that you have to glide over. Then you take three more steps and there's another barricade you have to glide over until you finally get to the finish line. And every time one of those obstacles was read, I kept thinking about that's a hurdle that they had to get over. Sounds like for them it was more like bumper cars where they were just crashing into each other. But why I love the image of hurdles is because that final obstacle carved them into masterpieces. So it's like they got through the obstacle course. They got through that lane of obstacles and came out with a certain sense of knowing who they are more clearly and still being able to move forward to their separate but ultimate finish lines. I thought she had a lot of great imagery in this piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I like that. You know, I like that image of hurdles. And, and your greater comment on the becoming a masterpiece in their own way. Great, great comment there, Barb. And Diane, what are your thoughts?
Well, I really enjoyed this. My thoughts on it were, you know, for me, friendship has changed today. Some of my bestest friends today are virtual unless we usually meet up once a year. But, like, from you know, my AP family to my DBT family to my pool tournament people and to all the things I am involved in. A lot of my friends are virtual 12-step groups and stuff. But friendships that are built like this and face the obstacles that these friendships face are unique, well-built, sturdy, strong friendships until they cannot no longer overcome those obstacles. And, you know, in all areas of life, life throws things at us, you know. If just wait a minute, because if you think everything's okay, just wait a minute, because that's what life is like. But friendships come and go, and some people are meant to be a chapter in our lives, and some people are meant to be the whole book. And that's the way things are. But, yeah, beautiful writing, beautiful, well-described things that change our lives and everything. Beautiful description.
Mm-hmm. I like that, what you said. You know, some people are meant to be chapters and some people are meant to be there for the whole book. Exactly. That's well put there, Diane. And I always say we never meet somebody that doesn't bring us something, you know, either good or bad, but they always bring something. And you know, it's so true with everybody we meet. And I understand Wayne has joined us. Hi, Wayne.
How you doing, ladies?
We're doing good. Hey, well, I'm doing good.
Cool.
So you're on with me and Diane and Puddles and Miriam, and so you're our knight in shining armor tonight for all these ladies.
Well, I'm proud to be here. I'm proud to have so many pretty ladies.
And are you here for a while, Wayne, or are you in a hurry, or just so that we know?
I'll be here for about an hour. I got to get the ball game after that. I got about an hour to kill.
So just so that Diane knows to put up your poem and then to put up the Miriam's poem. Okay. Okay, so...
I read the last poem. It was a pretty good poem.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead and comment, Wayne.
Okay. To keep friends, it's hard to keep friends anymore. You know, their times change and their likes and dislikes change. And time changes everything. New friends and old friends can not get together, not get along. It's also when you got such people from your past coming in and saying things about what you did a long time ago, it kind of changes your image of your new friends. So there's a lot happening when friends come and go, and old friends can be good or bad, but a lot of times they're not good because they talk about all the things when you was young that you didn't want nobody to know about. So that's what I feel about friends, and it's a great poem, very good poem.
So you did a lot of things when you were young you don't want people to talk about, Wayne? Oh, no.
I don't hear about that no more. I don't hear about it.
I'm just teasing. And Miriam, you read that so beautifully. What are your thoughts, my dear?
Well, you all covered most of what I was thinking of saying, but I did just a couple of little points here. One is I just noticed that she says to carve a friendship in the second verse. And then that's echoed in the later on, which he says, obstacles that carve us into masterpieces. So the carving is something very, very positive in the beginning. And then towards the end, the carving is used again to show something good can come even out of the destruction of the friendship. The ending I found terribly, terribly sad. I did recall a priest
friend of mine, I don't know, 40 years ago or something, made the point that, I think it was Diane made, that some people are just in our lives as a gift for a short time. And that is true, but that doesn't absolve us from the grieving process when the friendship ends.
Mm. So true, Miriam. And yeah, that's a great observation at that point there of the carving, because, you know, yeah, when you come across somebody and, you know, you create a friendship, you know, that this was a not just a little friendship, you know, from the beginning, it was a really deep friendship. You know, it does shape you and carve you into the person that you become. So, you know, in that way, although it does add, sadly, there is positivism in this poem, I think, you know, so what that friendship brought. So wonderful comment, Miriam. And what will be our next rite, Diane?
Well, up next we have, just let me post this in both rooms. It is called Feel So Bad, I Don't Know If Good Can Be Produced For Me Again, by Rosie Jean. And Barb, would you like to give that a read?
Of course. Thank you. Feel So Bad, I Don't Know If Good Can Be Produced For Me Again, by Rosie Jean. Hip hip hooray, a rhythm to spit, past the hip to a deep breath, harder or happier, via atmosphere of self-encountering, only the milieu needing miles for air that checks chokes you in between, but not my ache that loses my mind from breathing clear, continuing with bone beyond standstill, dressing skeleton. Psychosomatic chest pain after movies mama had a heart attack, or empathy weight to be apparent or dropped partial as the world's in charcoal from a spill of the womb not enclosed, closing credits, cloud, you're no extra, manual health or emotion without natural momentum. End poem.
Mm. What did you think, Diane, of this poem?
Well, you know, so bad, I don't know if good can be produced for me again. The title just sets the stage. And then it kicks off with hip, hip, oh, hooray, a rhythm to spit. That doesn't sound as chip, chip, happy as I thought hip, hip, hooray meant. But there's a moving part in here for me. There's pain that is, for what I feel from this, there's pain that psychosomatic chest pain emanated from pain. Now, is that physical or emotional pain? It seems there's a lot of pain going on in manual health or emotion without natural momentum. There's a depth to this poem that I would have to read it again and again and really soak this up, because there's so much pain in this that it just, even from the title on, it was really, really exceptionally well written.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like the part, you know, only the milieu needing miles for air that checks, chokes you in between, but not my ache that loses my mind from breathing clear, continuing with bone beyond standstill, dressing skeleton. My gracious, you know, that's so well written there. The imagery of that is just, oof. What did you think, Puddles, of this poem?
Well, it echoes what has already been talked about, but I think what I was able to hold on to the most was that whole psychosomatic chest pain after a movie's mama had a heart attack. I think a lot of us do feel things because we're so empathetic to what's happening to other people. And, of course, that opens us up to a whole world of woundedness that we really don't need to take ownership of, but that can feel so very, very real. And so this person is obviously, you know, compounding the pain that they're already experiencing in their own personal lives, because they're taking on the pain of others as their own. And you can really feel that kind of dripping from the page. Quite well done.
That's a great observation. Great comment there, Barb. And Wayne, what did you think, my dear?
I think this is a poem of pain. And I would guess it's someone that has a few years under her belt. It's hard to accept and hard to handle pain as you grow older. I can only say that I'll pray for her to ease the pain. This poem was well written, and it's something she probably had to get off her chest to say. And it's a good write, other than the topic is kind of sad, but it's a good write and good poem.
Yeah, that's true what you said, Wayne, about when you get older, pain seems to be you're less able to deal with it. You know, it's as if, you know, I don't know, it's because we're more in pain. You know, we should be used to pain by the time we get old, but no, it's just, you know, it's quite the opposite. It's just, it hurts more and more. So great observation there.
Every day there's new pain. Every day you wake up with a new pain. I just turned 70, and
mm-hmm.
I can vouch
for that. Absolutely. And Miriam, what are your thoughts, my dear?
Well, I hope you didn't hear me cussing when I was having muttered something under my breath when I was having phone troubles, but I'm back now. This poem, the sense that I got after a while is that the poet's pain is so deep that her sentence structure is kind of disintegrating. That some of the poem does not seem to make sense, and I think that may be intentional. And meaning that I was getting out of it, and of course I could be completely wrong. Maybe this is just symbolic, but I have the idea that she's talking about a miscarriage. And whatever the pain is, you know, she has my sympathy. Miss stillbirth, whatever happened to her that is causing so much terrible pain. You have my sympathy, Rosie Jean. So I really feel for you.
That makes sense. A miscarriage, yes. You know, the movie's Mama had a heart attack. You know, she has a mama in there, empathy, wait to be a parent, or dropped partial as the words. Yeah, spill of the womb, not enclosed. Yeah, now that I read it over, wow. That is a great observation there, Miriam. Bravo, you caught that. It could very well be indeed. Great, great comment. And, this was a very, very, touching write and very heartfelt write. And where are we going next, Diane?
Okay, next up we have, maybe there's a sound clip.
I didn't have any.
Love songs on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Love Songs on the Radio by Betty Page. And Wayne, would you like to give that a read?
I'll do my best. It goes like this. It's Love Songs on the Radio, number 6094. I'm held in your arms. You're mending my broken heart. Kisses away my tears. You're so electric as we listen to vinyl, radio's love songs. Each touch a sweet stitch. Unites my broken pieces. I love your caresses. Staring blue eyes, the way that you look at me, melt me completely. Take my hand, my love, sweetness, friends, as you desire. I love you, my sire. There's no one but you. Then kisses as we did before, lock both of our doors. Make this moment last, listening to ocean waves in every lifetime. Sit beside me, love. Let the runway past sunrise, right into the sunset. End. Sorry, we did so bad.
Oh, that was okay, Wayne. And, I really like this. I wrote to Betty and, you know, the beautiful, right? Of course, any right with the ocean. Make this moment last, listening to ocean waves in every lifetime. You know, the ocean waves is something eternal. You know, it's always there, the ebb and flow of the ocean, the come and the go, and it's always there. It's eternal. So in that way, you know, she wants this love to be eternal. Sit beside me, love. Let's run away past sunrise, ride into sunset. And I wrote that to her, you know, this is such a beautiful write. And she says that's all that she wants. Is to be with her muse again, that she loves him so much, and she can't take being away from him anymore. So, you know, there's a separation going on here for Betty Page, and, you know, so in that way, you know, it is a sad rite, you know, it's a rite of love, but, you know, we feel the sadness, you know, the sadness in the rite. And what did you think, Diane?
Well, I'm just caught up in the conversation between yourself and Betty. I mean, that was excellent. I really felt, you know, you're mending my broken heart, kiss away my tears. That's heavy, and there's a lot of love. There's a lot of hurt, and you're so electric as we listen to vinyl radio's love songs. I love that she tied that in with the title and that moment is of their love. Make this moment last, listening to ocean waves in every lifetime. Sit beside me, love. Let's run away past sunrise, ride into the sunset, as if you can stop it, right? As if that will take that pain away, and beautiful, you know, if you could do that together and then change the outcome, isn't that just amazing if you could do that? That's just beautiful, beautiful, right, Betty?
Absolutely. Wonderful right by Betty Page here. And Wayne, what did you think of Betty Page's right?
I think it's a wonderful poem. I wish I could read those short lines a little better, but this poem has a lot of emotion in it, a memory she had before, and she has a lot of yearning, you know, to make it happen again. There's a lot of emotions in this poem, and kind of sad, but she's got a yearning to get back with the guy, or get with her or him, anyone. But it's good poem. She did a good job on it.
Yeah, I think you struck a chord there with the word yearning. Yeah, that's exactly it. The great choice of word there, yearning, Wayne. Great comment. And Barb, what did you think, my dear?
Well, my favorite stanza was, "Each touch a sweet stitch unites my broken pieces. I love your caress." I just find that incredibly beautiful imagery. You can just see how this individual is a really important part of her wholeness. Another thing I really enjoyed, you partially talked about, Naomi, was about the ocean waves, and I can't help but wonder if there's a link somehow between the blue eyes that she stares into and then her coming back to commenting about ocean waves. Is there some sort of link that she listens to the ocean waves the same as, you know how when you're really connected to someone, you just look in their eyes and a whole novella is spoken without any words at all. And so I can't help but think that the depth of this connection was such that she heard the whole story of the ocean by looking in this individual's blue eyes. And I just love these little keys to the depth of this relationship that are just scattered throughout the poem. It just makes it a very interesting, deep, and moving read.
Yeah, that's a great comment, you know, about the blue eyes, the connection of the blue eyes and the ocean. I didn't even think of that. That's a great comment, Sarah. Wow, that's just amazing. Made a whole new development in this poem for me. It's a great comment. And Miriam, your thoughts, my dear?
The poem sounds beautiful. The emotions are very... They sound very true. And the other thing I really like about this is that there's a good balance between familiar images. So it kind of lures us in, makes us feel comfortable. And then there are these details that are so unusual. Don't often hear about vinyl on radio and poetry, and then the sweet dish unites my broken pieces. It's so wonderful. And what else? Oh, at the very end, the last line is right into sunset. That's something we hear all the time. Very, very familiar. But right before that, let's run away past sunrise. Very unusual, very crisp, and very evocative.
Wonderful comment there. Yes, it's true. Sunrise and then, the sunset right after. So true. You know, the juxtaposition of the both of them. Great catch there, Miriam. Wonderfully, wonderfully said. And Diane, what will be our next poem?
Next is Love Petals by Shalini Krish. And I can go ahead and give that a read.
Go ahead, my dear.
Oh, beautiful rose, your soft petals colored in love of a pastel pink romance with amethyst moon. My verdant devotion to yellow God diffused in your fragrance and ethereal flute melody easing from kisses, wounds, healed circles, withered in meters of time's metronome, cyan, ivory, mauve, coral. Your essence splashed on my pages, paper doll sheen in my notebook, unfaded, everlasting, intangible impressions of white clouds light, bittersweet memories lingering, ratified. Windowside gazes mine every day, awaiting an effervescence in barren ways. Flower once again in my soul, oh dear, caressing my aching crevices, yearning for your enamored rosette song. End poem.
What a beautiful read that was, Diane. Oh, my gracious, you did that justice. And, you know, I really love this poem. It's so, so beautiful. The use of color in the poem, you know, withered in meters of time's metronome, cyan, ivory, mauve, coral, your essence splashed on my pages. Paper doll sheen in my notebook. That is just a beautiful line there. Unfaded, everlasting. You know, there's just like this dreamlike quality to the whole write. It's just so enchanting. What did you think, Barb?
I think you and I are, you know, so in sync. I was going to use the word dreamlike myself. It has a softness and a flow and an elegance that is soothing. And I particularly, and I love how she mingles all the senses together from one line to the next. And she writes here, suffused in your fragrance, an ethereal flute melody. So she goes from the sense of smell, the sense of sound, and then you get the sight, because this melody is oozing from kisses, wounds, healed circles. She just mixes everything into a potpourri of sensory overload that yet is not too much. It just, it's a beautiful harmony of a human going through a bunch of emotions, and I think her word choices were impeccable and beautiful, and I love just the metered. It was read, really, I really enjoyed the reading. It just gave it a real pacing that was just, it really was like a song to the soul. Quite enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful comment there, Barb. And Miriam, your thoughts?
No, this time Barb covered it all. I have nothing else.
Sorry.
And Wayne, you have anything, Dan?
No, she did a great job with this poem. I mean, she said a whole lot about a flower. More than I think I can say she went from the color to the fragrance to the desire to see it again. And she did all in such a perfect flow. She did a good job on this poem. I liked it a whole lot.
Absolutely. Oh, she did. Absolutely. And Diane, your thoughts?
Oh, this is amazing. I how could you not flow through this? Because it flowed from one word to the next word to the next line to the next. There was no separation. There was no pause. It just it took you through its story of weathered healing circles and weathered wounds and whatnot. It's carrying you through the story. There's so much to say about this piece. It's got a beauty to it, and like you said, with the color just is part of the reason you just go so lightly from one to the next. But there's memories, bittersweet memories, and things going on in here indicating that, you know, there's two different ways one can look at this and two different feelings of the heart, it seems. And I love what Barb said about the soul. That's just so true. Really well written.
Absolutely, wonderfully said. And Wayne, you said you had a baseball game in around 8, I think.
Well, it comes on about 15 minutes. It's a championship of the football season. Football.
Okay. Yeah, so I went ahead. I hope you don't mind, Diane. I went ahead and put up Wayne's right.
That's
so
right.
We'll come back to the other one after. Is that okay?
Tell me.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just refreshing.
Okay. So, Wayne, whenever you see you're right there, you can go ahead and give it a read for us.
Okay.
And then I'll get you right up. I'll get you right up, Miriam, right after.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just back in the spring. I thought it was a pretty cute little poem. It's called The Good Life. It goes like this. Stately homes have a lot to adore. From professional kitchens to marble floor, all the comforts that they need. They have the funds, it's not greed. Flower gardens and immaculate lawns, swimming pool and goldfish ponds, circle driveways with Greek statues, automatic irrigation with lawn care crews, served by butlers, chauffeurs, and maids, with appointments made by personal aides, home furnished with antiques and art, modern electronics that will automatically start. Bedroom is large bath and balcony, theater study, rec room and library, a designer furniture with the latest fashion. A lot of upkeep living in a mansion.
Absolutely. A lot of upkeep living in a mansion. But wouldn't it be beautiful to have all that? I don't know. I don't know if I'd like to have maids and chauffeurs and butlers around all the time. I'd like to have a personal trainer that would make me do exercise. That would motivate me. Get there. Get that. Get exercise, get off the couch. That would be great. But you know, this is a amazing, right? Amazing flow and rhyme to it, and it makes you dream. It really makes you dream. I have a swimming pool, but you know, I don't have a great big swimming pool. I don't have a goldfish pond, that's for sure. Or, you know, Greek statues, oh my gracious, and you know, all those. You imagine everything else, like the cars and everything. My father did build me a library right in my bedroom when I was young. I was lucky. I was lucky, you know, because my father, I used to read all the time, and I guess my father, to keep me out of trouble, he hired a guy and he built my bedroom into a library. So my bed was in the middle of all these bookshelves, and now he uses it as his home office. I literally grew up in the middle of a library. That's where I slept. but to have a theater and right in your home, and to have a rec room, and to have all the, wow, the designer furniture and everything, wow. It makes you dream, these great big stately homes, you know, like your title, The Good Life, for sure. What did you think, Diane?
No, I thought this was awesome. This was great. I love the first stanza building up to the last line, they have the funds, it is not greed. All the comforts that the elite need, they have the funds, it is not greed. And then you go back to the title, The Good Life. You know, we dream of that good life, and it's different for everybody, right? And depends on what you have in life and what you are looking for and what you want and stuff. But it's not greed. If you have the funds and if you have the money, of course you want to live the comfort life. You want to live that kind of life, and it is the good life. So whatever you can do in life, I commend you to just spend the money and do it, because you cannot take it with you. All you can in life is your memories. And beautiful, right? Awesome job, Wayne. Really good job.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the comment. Great comment.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Diane. And hopefully my kids will be able to pay me a mansion one day. Maybe when they're all, or I'll just move in with them, you know, they're doing so well in life. Yay, I gave them life, so come on, give me back, payback time. And Barb, what did you think of this, right?
I really enjoyed how you put so much information into a very tight poem, but it didn't feel like we were being fed a bunch of words by, you know, a fire hose. It actually flowed really well. It was really well metered, perfect rhyme at the end. And so you just track with it, and by the end it's like, oh my gosh, he's told us like 20 different things about rich people, and it didn't feel like it was a school lesson. Really, really good. And that whole thing about the greed, I mean, people who have money that spend money are distributing their money. So all these people, the lawn care crews, are getting paid. Artists who painted the pictures that are on their walls, and the people who sculpted the statues, they all got paid. So it's great when people who have money spread it around. And it just flowed so well. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes, thank you a lot.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent comment, Barb. And Miriam, your thoughts, my dear.
What I liked best about this poem was the build-up. Right up until the end is all these wonderful descriptions of what the mansion looks like and all the advantages that the people have who live there. And then very last line, a lot of us keep living in a mansion. It's like all of a sudden you turn it around and, okay, this is wonderful, but maybe not perfect.
That's good, yeah.
I love that kind of, last line. Makes you laugh when you've been thinking the whole poem that it's going to be serious, and then you just turn it around on us. That's really, I love that. And the other thing is, if I may tell a brief story, Tim and I used to go out to the Shenandoah Valley, and they would have tours, a garden tour, where you could go to people's homes and look at their gardens and often go into the home and look around their home for that one day. And we went to one such mansion way up on the top of a huge hill, almost a mountain. And they had the boys' room was painted. It was a mural, all four walls, knights in shining armor, and their horses. It was absolutely amazing, and you know, nothing like it in all the world. Absolutely unique. And the other thing I remember is the shower. There were two shower heads in the great big shower, and they had individual controls so you could set exactly what temperature you want. Now, that's the best thing I've ever seen for home that I would like to have.
Absolutely. Oh, wow, that would be that would be a dream.
Yeah, one time I owned a plant store one time that sold professional appliances, and I got to meet all these rich people that put their appliances in their mansions, and they do have a lot of upkeep. If things start wearing out, you got to replace big items, not little items. You got to replace some expensive stuff when it starts wearing out. So it would drive me crazy. But, yeah, the rich have it made, but they also got a lot of stress on the back. So I feel sorry for them sometimes. But I had a chance to meet a bunch of them.
I think it's a very, very good
point. Absolutely. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful poem, Wayne. Thank you so, so much. And Miriam, I went ahead and put up your poem. So if you want to go ahead and give it a read, my dear.
Will do. Feline affection. If I were a cat, perhaps I was. I'd settle wrapped atop your knee. There I'd disperse persistent fuzz and purr like a steam calliope. I'd turn to wash your stroking hand until the skin was red and raw. My comforter, you'd understand, surrendering to sharpened claw. I like to knead my chosen birth, oblivious to flinch and yelp. So pet me, contemplate my worth. I am the boss. You're just the help.
Awesome poem. It makes me think so much of my cat. Oh, my gracious. Oh, boy. Yeah. You know, as soon as, and she isn't meowing. Where is she? Oh, my gracious. Because as soon as I started a show, I'm telling you, like, I have to interrupt the show or I have to say I'll be right back because she starts meowing. She wants to be fed. She wants outside. She wants this. She wants that. She waits till I'm busy and then she starts at it. She's quieter now that it's winter time, but you know, in the summertime, she's just, yeah. And that's exactly it. I am the boss. you're just a help. But all the way through, just amazing, amazing right here, Miriam. And what did you think, Pylos, of this poem?
I thought it was absolutely adorable. I love it. I'm not a cat person. I may just go get a cat. They sound delightful. I mean, you're talking about, you know, sharpened claws and whatnot, but that whole purring thing, I love it. You've already touched upon the stanza I was going to accentuate. I like to knead my chosen birth. That's hilarious. You see them kneading the dough, you know, on somebody's stomach or their lap or whatever, oblivious to flinch and yelp. So pet me, contemplate my worth. I am the boss. You're just the help. I love that. It is so true. I'm a dog person because they just love you undeniably. You have to earn the love of a cat. I'm not sure they ever dish it out. It's like they just always keep you on that short rope. But they are absolutely gorgeous. Most of my family members have a cat, and they're like their children. And but you've captured the essence of a cat so beautifully here. I really enjoyed it. And it really is one of these poems. There are just certain poems that just demand to be read aloud, and this is one of them. I really enjoyed it, Miriam.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, my cats are much better trained than this. The two we have now did draw blood when we first got them, but we have trained them.
Oh, wow.
They are very, very loving, and they rarely break the rules. But, you know, they're still wild. They're still wild in their essence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is that wildness about a cat. You know, my cat is a Highland Lynx. And that's the breed of the cat, and they like to go, they like heights, like a lynx, I guess. And she goes she doesn't go yard to yard, she goes roof to roof. So the neighbors are outside, and they're saying, you know, at the beginning they were saying, "Hey, your cat is on our roof." I say, "Yeah, I know." She just goes from the house roof, jumps, you know, down to the on a fence, goes up on a garage roof, onto the next house roof, and there she goes across, you know. I don't know how far she goes that way, but she goes from roof to roof, you know. She's always, you know, while the other cats are down on the grass, she's on a roof someplace. So, my gracious, but, you know, she's just love her, my cat. I'm like you, Barb, though. I'm more a dog person, but, you know, dog needs a lot of attention and training, and I had a dog. She passed away after 16 years. I had a German Shepherd. I was so sad, and, you know, so I decided just to get a cat, and, you know, but I end up really loving my cat, so I didn't think I'd love her that much. So I understand this poem, and I understand you, Miriam, with your cat. And Diane, what did you think of Miriam's poem?
Oh, I thought this was, from the title, it fit the title well, Feline Affection. And sometimes, like, it's not that I'm not a cat person. I want a cat. I live alone in a little small place, and I want to get a cat. And this kind of makes me go, yeah, I can handle that. I can handle that. Now, the hair disbursement, I don't know if I can handle that, and, you know. But it was like, it was so cool to read it from a cat lover's view, from somebody who obviously has quite a unique and awesome relationship with their fur baby, you know. I enjoyed it. Well written. Thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you, Diane.
And Wayne, what did you think?
Well, I love this poem. I'm a cat lover. I've always had cats. I always had one at a time. I've got a cat now I've had for 16 years, and we've lived together by ourselves for 16 years now. last two I had lived for 19 years apiece. So I've had cats around all the time. And there's something else. They're special. My cat comes and tells me when I go to bed. I got to go to bed when she tells me. So she comes here meow until I go to bed with her. And she has a way of talking to me and keeping me straight. So I love my cat a whole lot. And it was a great poem.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Eh? My cat, too, is like, you know, when it's time to go to bed, she just sits there in front of me, meow, 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 and she doesn't let up till I go to bed, and then she curls up beside me in bed. Yeah.
It is.
And, so that was a great share, Miriam. Thank you so, so much. And I'm turning it back to you, Diane. Don't forget Shalini Krish's poem that we skipped. Did we skip that one or did we not? No way. We did that one, eh? Oh, we did that one. I'm turning it back to you, Diane. I'm minding my own business. Okay.
Right.
I'm going to give it right back to you. I'm going to post it, and I'm going to be right back, and I'll share on it last.
Okay.
It's called Fields of Music by My Angels 3, and you can go ahead and assign that.
Okay. So, Barb, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please. Feel the Music.
Sure. Feel the Music by My Angels 3. Sometimes the music plays intermittently, offbeat melodies, brave thoughts shuffle, awkward, aimless, alone, detached, absent of any rhythmic connection or purpose. But when the music plays flawlessly, valorous thoughts begin to waltz, glide across the marble floor, capturing the attention of their peers. Others, growing courage, start to sway, fling to the beat of the soul music. One by one, they join the dance, spinning, twisting around. The dance floor becomes awash with kaleidoscope imaginations, inspirations, realizations. Each song sweeter than the last, each beat further filling the dance floor until a swirling pool of wonderment twists, spins together. End poem.
Ah, what a beautiful read that was, Barb. And, you know, this really brought me out onto a dance floor and filled my heart with joy. You know, it's just so beautiful the way she really captured music. I'm telling you, though, that the beginning there, awkward, aimless, alone, detached, absent of rhythmic connection, it's like me trying to play the piano or the guitar. That's me. But, you know, my poor parents, they had me in every music lesson that was out there when I was young, and they wanted me to play an instrument. And, you know, I do a little, but, you know, I'm really not, you know, some people have it, some people don't. And, I can play a couple of Christmas carols, that's about it, you know. Oh, I can play a bit of CCR on the guitar, you know. But some people just have an ear for music, and, you know, that's just how the world goes. And I don't. But, you know, this is just beautiful, you know, the way when she gets in it, one by one, they join the dance, when it's spinning, twisting round. The dance floor becomes awash with kaleidoscopic imaginations, inspirations, realizations. I love, you know, the way she plays with the wordplay in this, right? It's just so beautiful. And who do we still have with us? Miriam had to leave. Wayne, are you still with us? I guess maybe Wayne? Did Wayne, the game is on. Oh, okay. Wayne left too. So Wayne dropped, Miriam dropped. So that's left me, Diane, you, Barb. So I don't know. Diane, are you back? No? So I'm going to have you comment, Barb.
I'm the only one left, so by default. I feel so loved. This is a gorgeous piece of poetry. It really does. I had never read it before I read it, and it danced off the tongue. It just, the words knew the pacing. I mean, the tongue knew the pacing because the words, it was just so beautifully and technically written. It reads the way it was supposed to flow. And it really did sound like a waltz. Just the pacing of it, it was just so graceful and lyrical. Really enjoyed it. And I love that whole imagery of how one good song evolves into another good song, or one awesome chord is joined by another harmonious chord, and how it just grows and builds and becomes the symphony of sound, but still with the same graceful interplay, and how it just soothes the senses. It just oozed peace and calm and beauty. And I love how she also kind of contrasted when it's a horrible piece of music, and I'm thinking pop music. It's awkward, it's aimless, it's alone. The descriptors are not very kind. But then you get into the descriptors for this beautiful, waltzy, harmonious music and its inspiration, realization, imagination. It's just really well knitted together piece of poetry. And I love also the prompts. The prompts that she wrote to was, the rule is you have to dance a little bit in the morning before you leave the house, because it changes the way you walk out into the world. And that's so true. And that reminds me actually of the poem that we read of Wayne's last week, where he talks about, you know, he's just a happy guy and he wakes up just so grateful that he got to wake up and that he starts his day with a smile. And I think how you start your day is how you finish your day often. And the next day, I said I was going to do it, and I did it. After Wayne's poem, the next day I got up. I forgot to be thankful for waking up, and I forgot to smile. But before I left to go play pickleball, I literally crawled back into bed with all my pickleball gear on, went under the covers. I said a prayer of thanks and gratitude for the gift of another day. And I just laid there and I smiled, and I could actually feel my emotions and my sense of well-being change. And I think My Angel 3 captured that same power in the power of music to actually alter your mood and set a really good tone for the day. It was really, really well scripted and written.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a great what you said there about Wayne's poem and about this poem here, a great comparison. Yeah, it's so true. And I did that too, while I smiled I'm a positive person. But pretty positive. But, it does change the way you approach the day. Like, if you approach the day all grumpy and, your day is not going to go pretty good. But if you do, okay, today's going to be a good day and, I'm smiling and it does. And I understand where you're coming from, Barb, with this poem here on music. It's just, the way it's written. written. It's so evocative. It's so, it just swirls you up and picks you up, you know, and it's so, it just captivates you and enchants you. I really, really love this poem all the way through like you did. And are you back, Diane?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Yes. Hooray.
Yeah, I'm back, girl. Sorry about that. Did you want me to, would you like me to comment on my angel three?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead, my dear.
This was a wonderful piece. You guys both described it beautifully. And you know, there was a comparison.
What?
Connection between the dance.
We're losing you.
Hello?
Diane. We're losing you. Not barely.
Hello?
Yeah, now yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So I will try and continue on and let me know if you can't hear me. I might have to dial back in. Okay. It was a beautiful write that, you know, it was written like a waltz. It was read like a waltz. It flowed like a waltz. It was beautiful. Very well done. Very impressed. Thank you very much for sharing that with us, my angel three.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful piece. And what will be our next write, Diane? And just to let you know, Diane, Wayne and Miriam have dropped.
Yeah, that's what I gathered too. Okay. Up next is a write called Until I Find You by Judd. And Naomi, would you like to give that a read?
Okay, Until I Find You by Judd. Let my silence speak, perhaps, as that tormented tulip drifting alone in soulful soliloquies. I've inhaled ashes of anguish amidst the roused ashtray of allure, arraying myself upon a Morris anvil to be pummeled by pleasure, but beaten and battered into pain. For I know not how to wake and walk this whirling world without wandering into wishful woodlands, weaving waltzing wonders along wanton ways. But I've grown instead, grasping, grown of gratitude as ghosts of gratified gasps. But for now, like a shipwreck, I'm swept with the silence of my spind drifts into stormy seas. This soliloquy scene, driftwood, my only surviving souvenir. End poem. And wow, what a master of alliteration this poet is. Amazing, right? What did you think, Barb?
It's beautiful. I'm a fan of Judd, so I'm a little bit biased, but I'm a fan because he is so gifted. Every one of his poems is just incredible. It's like a journey he takes you on, and there's that sultry beauty to it. But in this piece, he's added, it's like juxtaposing just the joy of a love that is expressed in a physical way, but also when it comes crashing down, it's also the pain is expressed in a very physical way. And the descriptors used are incredible. The whole, the anvil, being, you know, bullied like an anvil. I love this line. I've inhaled ashes of anguish amidst a roused ashtray of allure. So in the same moment that you're breathing in that intoxicating scent of your lover, you're also choking on the ashes as it disintegrates before your eyes. I mean, and in every single stanza, there's that yin and yang of love from the first bloom to the final decay of the petals. He's just a masterful poet in my mind. And this particular poem does not disappoint.
Absolutely. You know, that was a wonderful comment, Barb. And yeah, me too. I really like Judd's writing. You know, it's just he's a master of poetry. My gracious, master of alliteration and a real wordsmith for sure. And Diane, what did you think of Judd's poem?
Oh, I thought it just flowed beautifully in the imagery, and like Barb said, that line, the ashes of anguish, just, you know, there's such wordplay and alliteration and impact and power in the word choice here. Just beautifully well done. Very impressed.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Diane. And what will be our next poem, Diane?
Okay. Just let me see. I'm kind of lost here. Where do I go next? Until I find you. And then Brain Station. Here we go. Dark and Auras. So up next is Brain Station by Darkened Auras, and I will, as soon as I get it posted in both rooms, I will ask Barb to read this one, please.
Okay, Brain Station by Darkened Auras. I'm assuming that that top part was the prompt, correct?
Yes.
Okay, Brain Station. I don't have a one-track mind where one subject reigns supreme. Nope, my thoughts, they just go everywhere, derailing as a conductor's scream. Some have crashed and burned, can't focus on the road ahead. Still, there are echoes from the rubble, from conductors long since dead. At night, they are like a pinball machine, bouncing off all cylinders, racing fast. I wish they'd pull into Brain Station, so I could get to sleep at last. End poem.
I love that. I wish they'd pull into Brain Station so I could get to sleep at last. Sounds like my brain without medication. I have strong pills that put me to sleep. Oh, my gosh. You know, this is so, you're such a wonderful right to that prompt, which was, I don't have a train of thought. I have seven trains on four tracks that narrowly avoid each other when the paths cross and all the conductors are screaming. And, you know, this is, she wrote exactly to that prompt. It's so authentic, it's so raw, and it's so relatable to so many people, I am sure. Wonderful, right, Dark and Doris. And what did you think, Diane?
I think this poet is telling my story. And I totally relate to it. I don't have a one-track mind where one subject reigns supreme. It's so true, you know. When I tell people, because, you know, I'm in 12-step programs for a reason, right? And for when I tell people, you know, my mind just thinks differently. And it thinks in so many different ways. And it thinks, you know, I can't control it. And it's like how it's written here. Still, there are echoes from the rubble, from conductors long since dead. That's when we're living in the past, right? And we're thinking in the past. And then at night, they are like a pinball machine, bouncing off all cylinders, racing fast. Oh, my God, that's so true. As someone who likes to eat their thoughts away at night, I eat all night long because all I do is think, and the thinking gets me wanting to shut down. And it's typical of what our mind can do and how it can capture us. And then I wish they'd pull into brain station so I could get to sleep at last. That is so true. You know, I'm every night I find myself trying to get to brain station, and I can't get there sometimes. And I'm a night person, so I go all night sometimes because my head just doesn't want to stop. And then I have to put in place what comes into my head. And, oh, it's crazy. Excellent write about what we can go through sometimes and how, you know, when you reach a point in life, all you want is that calm, that peace of mind, that calmness. And this one, I think once you get the brain station, you get it. Well written.
Yeah, you know, just like, yeah, I can relate. I have ADD pretty bad, and I'm like most people know, I'm also bipolar, but it, you know, it's controlled. But because I'm bipolar, they can't give me medication for the ADD because it sends me into a high, because I'm always high. Like, I don't have the depression side, I have the high side. And so, you know, I forget things, you know. I have to be like, put my stuff always at the same place, you know. I have to have a routine. I have to, you know, my life is so you know, compartmented, you know, like in little drawers. And you know, when I go away on a trip, well, that gets all mixed up. So, you know, I'm out at the cottage. Like, I went to the cottage last this weekend, and you know, I'm driving home from the cottage, and it's a 7-hour drive, and I left earlier than the others. And then, you know, I'm like 40 minutes on the road driving, and my phone rings. And, you know, it's my daughter, and she says, "Mommy, you left your purse at the cottage." And I go, "Oh, you know." I cussed a bit. And I said, "Oh, no, you know, I have to, you know." And my daughters can't bring it to me because we live all, you know, like 2 hours from each other, you know, 7 hours from each other and 6 hours from each other. And so, you know, I have to turn around, I have to go back 40 minutes again and go back to the cottage, pick up my purse, oh my gracious. So, you know, so, yeah, I get this, you know, when your brain, you know, gets out of whack, you know, yeah, I get it. And Barb, what did you think of this write?
I thought it was a beautifully crafted, a very articulate write. It was really smart. It was very relatable. I think the fact that just listening to you and Diane, just the energy in your voices, just how much you enjoyed it, speaks volumes. I can totally relate. I especially relate to the part that Diane highlighted, which is some, and of course talking about the thoughts, some have crashed and burned, can't focus on the road ahead. Still, there are echoes from the rubble from conductors long since dead. How many of our hours are consumed by re-watching the reels from scenes that have happened, words that were spoken so many years ago that still control our minds and our actions, our emotions? I just wish those conductors would just retire, honestly. But mm-hmm. I think she absolutely nails it because there's just so many places our mind goes. And brain station seems to be like, they never get to that station. I think she did a phenomenal job because she described something everyone can relate to in a way that is still pure poetry. I loved how she would bring keywords down to the next line, add a comma, there's the pause, yet it flows into the next thought bubble. Just a really well-crafted piece that everyone can identify with, I think. There's the very rare lucky individual who can drift off to sleep. They tend to be guys. What is that? I don't understand that.
Exactly.
That's a guy I know, but they just give them a recliner and they're good. But I really enjoyed this piece. And the fact that she got it all tucked into three stanzas, so much relatable information in three stanzas. I really enjoyed this a lot.
Yeah, great comment there, Barb. And what will be our next poem, Diane?
Well, I just want to comment just a little bit more on this last piece by Dr. Norris, because it just, you know, as Barb was talking, of course, it brings up things for me and whatnot. And it's just, you know, that the part about that the middle stanza that, you know, talks about can't focus on the road ahead still, there are echoes from the rubble. And, you know, I was just thinking as Barb was talking about this, is that we get caught up in the rubble. We get caught up in the past, and we get caught up in the future, and we sit there. And, you know, it's a hard place to be, because sometimes we're suffering, because it could be a money thing. It could be something else. It could be a heartbreak. It could be health. It could be anything. And we are suffering in our thoughts. But, you know, the thing is I just wanted to point out is there are echoes from the rubble, but the past is not a place for living. The past is a place for learning. We have to learn from the past and then put it to bed. And we are responsible for those thoughts and how we control them at night and stuff. And one of the best things that works for me at night and in the morning is meditation. I meditate in various ways just to get my head centered, because Albert Einstein said that when you meditate, the consciousness with which you find the problem is not the same as the consciousness with which you solve the problem. So we have to get to a different consciousness when we're in this place and come to a place where our minds can settle and meditate. And that's all I wanted to share on that. Otherwise, awesome, right? I loved it. It really made my thinker start thinking.
Oops. Sorry, girls. I was on mute. Absolutely, Diane. Those are great points that you brought up. And, yeah, this poem really made us, provided us thought for, you know, discussion for sure. So thank you so much, Dark and Dora. Such a relatable poem. And where are we going next, Diane?
I'm gonna double dip with Barb and get her to read twice, because I just posted her poem.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So, Love Listens by me. Winds howl, disheveled days rubbed raw with the doing, spiral endlessly. Consumed with the chase, time tumbles to tomorrow's shore, where father's voice waits, weaving tales, casting for borrowed yesterdays. Tempests stall as love listens. Sirens scream, anger flees the hours that come unbidden, hidden in the loss of self. Withered bones bend beneath time's callous grinding. Fears peer through the fabric that cannot cloak the knowing. Yet love listens. Death whispers. Seconds bleed the parchment stained with woundings past. Bruised breathless, hearts search a common source where forgiveness binds the page. And love listens. End poem.
You know, you told me, Barb, you know, that you had found that, you know, the perfect poem that you wanted to put up tonight. And wow, you know, this is just, you know, well, of course, you're like one of my idols, idol poets, you know, I think you win every gold almost in my contest, but this is, but you know, this is just absolutely beautiful. Oh my gracious, love listens, you know, and it's so beautifully written, and there's even, you know, bits of alliteration throughout it. The metaphors are just so amazing, and but it's the emotion that takes over in this poem. It's just, you know, it just has that such a wow factor. You know, that it's so emotional, so profound. What did you think, you know, Diane, of Barb's poem?
Barb, did you write this when you were on the way to the brain station? Because this one got me thinking. This one got me thinking, like, holy, this, the love listens, the description, the action that went into the ability for love to listen, and wind howl, disheveled days rah-rah with the doing. Tempest stall as love listens, where father's voice waits, weaving tales. There's so much in here. Sirens scream, like the action and the unbelievably powerful words you use to describe the emotion here from stanza to stanza. Withered bones bend beneath time's callous grinding. Oh my goodness. I mean, being someone who suffers from bone problems, I feel that pain. I feel that ongoing, incessant grinding. It's like, and then death whispers, seconds bleed the parchment, same with woundings past, bruised, breathless, like just beautiful alliteration, imagery, exceptional writing. It really, like I say, honest to goodness, I'm sure you wrote this one at night when you couldn't shut your head down, because this is powerful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, it is indeed. You know, like Diane said, you know, those some of those lines, you know, right from the beginning, you know, winds howl, disheveled days rubbed raw with the doing, spiral endlessly, consumed with the chase, you know, and then, you know, after where father's voice waits, the tempest stalls, the sirens scream, anger flees the hours that come unbidden, and, you know, and then death whispers, seconds bleed the parchment, stained with what woundings past, bruised, breathless. You know, the way you put words together, oh my gracious, I'm telling you, it's just amazing. The way you weave a poem together, it's just wow. Round of applause, Barb. It's just beautiful. It's just talent. Pure talent. That's what it is. It's amazing.
Well, I sure appreciate those. I appreciate those kind thoughts. I am completely pained and obsessed with the passage of time. I am unfortunately one of those people who find just remorse in the lost time of the past, and I grieve for the losses that are yet to happen in the future. And this particular piece is about aging parents, where, you know, as they're getting older, you're still busy raising your kids, and it's like we need to stop and we need to give them time and we need to listen to their stories. And then that middle stanza is about dementia. It's too late. Your parent has lost who they are. It's like hidden in the loss of self. Fear peers through the fabric that cannot cloak the knowing. It's like that point in dementia where you know you're losing your ability to remember. That is the most painful space. And then the final end. So I really appreciate the love you guys have just thrown onto this. This actually is a piece that's very near and dear to my heart. So thank you for letting me share it. I appreciate the time.
It was an honor to hear that, really. Such a beautiful, beautiful piece. And so thank you so, so much. And Diane, what will be our next write?
Up next is Silent. And I'm just posting it in two rooms. Silent by BMoore4667. And I'll go ahead and give this a read. Okay, Silent. I was very shy. I spoke not much. You spoke volumes with your touch. I didn't see until too late that tender love would turn to hate. I found my voice but couldn't speak. He stifled me, outlook was bleak. I tried to speak, he talked over me. From him and abuse I had to be free. Silently I came to be. From him unmired, unshackled, unfettered. Like from a cannon fired. End poem.
It brings back a lot of hurt, this poem. You know, I lived through this, of course, when I was younger, a violent relationship. But it's inspiring because she gets away from that person that's hurting her. And, wonderful rhyme throughout it, you know. I really like Silently I Came to Be from him unshackled, unfettered, like from a cannon fired. And it's true, you know, when you take off on your own, oh, my greatest, you're free. I went back to university. I worked nights. I raised my four kids. I worked nights. I went back to university. I got my teacher's degree, you know, my bachelor's degree in teaching, by gracious, I felt free. But, you know, it took me 12 years to get out of that relationship. But, it brings you strength. That's what I'm telling you. It brings you strength. Your strength to take on the world, to take on anything. And so well written, this poem. And, so relatable to so many again. What did you think, Barb, of this poem?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I'm sorry, Naomi. You had to go through that. Nobody deserves to go through any kind of abuse. And testament to you that you're such a bright light. Your laughter, I'm not kidding, can immediately change my mood. And for you to come from such a harsh background and still have a brightness surrounding you, well done. Well done.
My parents, my mom was such a positive person. I think I take off after her because I was always positive, even in the violence. I always stayed positive. So
that's awesome. So important. This is an incredibly well-written poem. I love how she sets the whole tone with the title Silence, because the entire poem is about the stage time voices get, her voice and her mate's voice, and they are so linked and intertwined. One shuts down the other constantly, but for different reasons. I was very shy. I spoke not much. You spoke volumes. But first, it was her own nature that kept her a little bit quiet. Then a few stanzas later, we see that she found her voice. I found my voice, but couldn't speak. He stifled me. So it's like she's getting some confidence, but still she's getting shut down, so she's still not getting stage time, but now she wants stage time. So there's some frustration growing in this individual. And then it's, I tried to speak. He talked over me. So here again, she's like getting more assertive, but now he is more aggressively shutting her down. And then she just finally gave up the speak and decided actions was what was needed. Silently, I came to be from him unmired. So she found her strength in the silence that was demanded of her. And in the end, silently, she had the final say. And I just think the fact that she so beautifully showed it's abuse that was being meted upon her, and her finally saying, I don't need words because my voice is me walking out that door. An incredible work right here. Really, really well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. And I like how you use the voice throughout the poem. That observation that you had there, so true. Wonderfully said there, Barb. And what about you, Diane? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's a hard place to see people find themselves. And fortunately, I have never found myself in that place in my life. My mom did. My mom suffered abuse for a lot of years. I was actually born 3 weeks premature because of abuse my mom suffered. And, I have never had to do that. I'm a person that I grew up in the streets too. When I was a young adult, I was in the streets and you live with the sharks, you learn to act like a shark. So it wasn't too many people that could come and control me in that way. So when I hear someone going through that and whatnot, I want to take them aside and tell them, like, you know, that help them get peace and whatnot. It's a sad thing that somebody can take another person out of themselves in that specific way. It's just a wrong thing. There's nothing right in the world about it. And that's just as simple as it is for me. But beautiful write. Excellent write. Well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Diane. And a beautiful poem by B. Moore, 4/46/67 for sure. And where are we going next, Diane?
Up next, we have Beautiful Day by Sujatha Five. And Naomi, would you like to give that a read?
Of course. Beautiful Day. And this goes like this. Peeping of dawn, whisk before by dusk, sunlight thronging, the tall green lady still standing, her bark so wide grounded when fragments of raw water flooded the pathways. Everybody witnessed the rush of the purity, so transparent, unperturbed. Rolling waters, can I roll with you? Mysterious silence, colors of green, yellow, spread where I wish to sit and breathe. The air of blue flowers, flitting of butterflies. Can I fly with you? Beautiful day, still the sunshine, still my hands wide, still my heart skip like a child wandering over the meadows to play. Breeze of chirpy dandelions, smile of unmeasurable time, unstoppable. Earth benevolent, when your arms around me, evergreen, eternal, you. End poem. And, you know, this is so beautiful. We just hear the nature whispering and singing throughout this beautiful brevity. And he wrote the prompt, the earth has its music for those who listen. And I think he captivated that prompt so well. I just love the breeze of chirpy dandelions. That is so beautifully said. And so many lines. I love the questions also throughout the poem. And, just the pace of the whole write. And the way he uses color, of course. Just a beautiful, poem that makes you want to enjoy life and nature and go outside and just breathe in the fresh air and just look around and, just be with nature. What did you think, Barb?
I think this poem takes me beyond identifying with someone who wants to be with nature. I get a sense that this individual wants to be one with nature. And I do think there is a very significant difference in that. I totally relate to the concept of feeling one with nature. It's 'cause they want to fly with the butterflies. They want to be with the rolling waters. It's not like I want to put my feet into your soothing waters. They want to roll with the waters as if they are a water droplet themselves. They want to inhale not the fragrance of flowers, but just the flowers. I want to sit and breathe the air of blue flowers. It's like they're trying to, like I said, become one with all the elements that they're experiencing around them. It's beautiful. I see so much of my relationship to nature in this. Evergreen, eternal you. Nature is so eternal. I found it very beautiful. And I love that the section where it's using the still, beautiful day. And I read it as a command to nature. It's like, beautiful day, still the sunshine. Like, just stay where you are. Still my hands wide. I'm just going to stay here with my hands out wide to embrace it all. Still my heart skip. Like, my heart be still. Just be present, so present in this glorious moment. I think they captured a very beautiful space and moment in time.
I love your comments, Puddles. Oh, my gracious. I keep going back between Barb and Puddles. Hey, I'm going to call you Barb Puddles. But, you so captured the essence of this poem. So true, He doesn't just want to be with nature. He wants to become nature, I get that, he wants to be the flying butterflies, he wants to be that sunshine, so well said there. And what are your thoughts, Diane?
Well, I just, oh my goodness, again, the action and the positivity, the beauty of nature, the way this person has a passion for nature, peeping of dawn, whisk before by dusk, sunlight thronging, the tall green lady still standing, talking of the tree, this tall green tree, her bark so wide grounded when fragrance of raw water flooded the pathways. Everybody witnessed the rush of the purity and what purity, with the butterflies and the bees and the hornets and all the trees and the buds and the little flowers, the beauty that she captures here or that's captured here, the air of blue flowers. I've never had anybody help me smell blue flowers, but I could smell blue flowers in this poem. I could smell what he or she, I'm better double check here. I think, but what they felt, I could feel it. What they saw, I could see. What they smelled, I could smell. It's just the transference from the written word into me, the reader, is unbelievably well done. It's very well done. I enjoyed this one. And I am going to, with that, wish you ladies a good day. And I will see you again next week.
Yes, okay.
It's a pleasure spending the evening.
Bye, Diane. So, yeah.
Care,
so take care, Diane. And, yeah, so... Barb, me and you, let's do this thing. So we have one last poem from the carryovers, and it's by Matt29, who also wrote to that quote, "I don't have a train of thought. I have seven trains, you know, on four tracks." And I have no idea who read. I'm going to let you go ahead and read this, Barb.
Sliding Down?
Okay. Sliding Down.
Yeah. Sliding Down by Matt29. Places visited and enjoyed without a care. When does the journey experience take hold? So many requirements needing focus. If only I wasn't losing my grip. Now I'm sinking. The water's boiling over. Too many balloons to hold on to. Slipping through my fingers. Feeling like I'm skating on thin ice. Cracks appear with the rats descending. Chaos ensues amid the dissension. Everything is becoming too much. Can't save the souffle. It's flopped. Now the washing machine has flooded. Water spreading and going everywhere. Kids screaming at me for assistance. Too many trains to focus on all at once. End poem.
And this was a silver winner in the contest. I really liked this. You know, that souffle just got me. Can't save the souffle. It's flopped. What a one! That metaphor right there. It just got me. You know, just that picture of that souffle. You know, just, you know, caving in. You know, it's like just somebody caving in because too much is going around and they're just drowning. Just like that souffle. And, you know, that image there was just amazing. And so well done, you know. I could just imagine this, you know, from when I was raising the kids and everything was going so, so fast. And, you know, the kids screaming, everything, you know. Cracks appear with the rats descending. Chaos ensues amid the dissension. Everything is becoming too much. Oh, my gracious. Yeah, you know, the sinking feeling. I think he captured the urgency of the whole situation so well. You know, it's just such a clever, amazing, intelligent write here by Matt. What did you think, Barb?
Well, if Matt is cooking and making souffles, he needs to hang out with my husband some and give him some training. My husband doesn't cook, so I'm sorry. I'm jealous. I thought this was great. I mean, a lot of detail given to all the different trains that are crashing on his tracks, just piling up and stopping traffic so that he just, I'm getting a sense that Matt is just completely paralyzed with his life in as he's describing it here. And I find it interesting how he sets the stage that it sounds like in this poem, he's just come off a vacation. Places visited and enjoyed without a care. When does the journey experience take hold? So many requirements needing focus. If only I wasn't losing my grip. It's like you just get back from a vacation. It wears off instantly because you're thrust right back into the chaos you needed a vacation from. I thought he did a great job on just describing so many things that everyone can identify with. And there are days where it's just a pile on, where, you know, the souffle doesn't work and the washing machine floods and water's going everywhere and the kids are screaming. And I have been there 1,000 times and it is a horrible place to be. And you're looking for the brain station. You know, you just want a nap. Just make it go away. He doesn't give a final resolution because you know what? In life, we often don't get that break. We don't get that resolution. We don't have the Savior coming in to say, I will take over. You just relax. I'm going to help you through this. We just have to power up and push through and be as kind as we can to those who happen to cross our paths in that moment. And as a parent, it is so challenging, so incredibly challenging to parent with kindness when it's not just their screams you're dealing with. It's all the other dozen things that are hitting you all at the same time. Really well written. I love the fact that there was no resolution. The trains are still barreling down that track for a head-on collision, and it's just part of life, and you just get through it. Really smart, leaving it like that. Really well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really thought he did a great job that Matt did. Awesome comment. And our next poem will be the first write. Maybe the last poem for today. We'll see. For the pre-writes here, and it's called The Day Grandpa Passed by Overseer. And it goes like this: The day Grandpa passed in Missouri in the summer, me a child at play back in the late 50s at my grandpa's place. I remember the scent of fruit and heat and sweet decay, and on the day my grandpa passed, I caught that scent that day. End poem. And, you know, such a nostalgic write, so poignant, so powerful. My gracious, you know, it slams, smashes you, this poem. The scent, you know, how things come to you. When things happen, and scent is one of those things that you remember. You don't remember like everything that's going on, but you'll remember a particular scent. And, you know, as you remember like a music that played or something, but scent is one of those five senses that's really, you know, like I remember, you know, my mother's cooking, you know, when she makes her soup, the scent that fills the house, you know, that reminds me of my mom. So wonderful, wonderful right here. What did you think, Barb?
Yeah, I love the use of a scent that is used as a trigger, because as you just mentioned, so often we hook an emotion and an experience onto a particular phrase in a song, perhaps a particular distant sound of a train. I have a linkage to a sound in the train because I can hear the trains going by from my back bedroom when I was growing up. So it catapults me back to my childhood bedroom anytime I hear a distant train. So the fact that in this small little piece to use that trigger is just a really beautiful technique. And he also we don't know, Overseer, the first line, in Missouri in the summer. Wow, we're talking hot, we're talking humid. So of course when you have a hot humid environment, it really does, and you've got a piece of like maturing fruit, it would sit so heavy, the scent would be so heavy on that day, especially if it was a still breezeless day, sets a stage in such a tight package that I feel like I'm there. back in the late 50s, and yet I feel like I'm there as they remember it. So they've managed to put us in two places at the same time because they have linked us with their particular trigger. Really, really good use of words and poetic license. Really enjoyed it.
Oh, absolutely. Wonderful, wonderful comment. And, you know, I try to remember because, you know, the only person really that, you know, that was like my parents are 75 now. And so, you know, I haven't really lost somebody close to me. And, you know, but I lost my great-grandmother. I didn't know my grandparents because they passed on. But I knew my great grandparents who raised my mom, and you know, I try to remember because I was at my great grandfather's funeral, and I try to remember back. You know, I remember the smell of people pressed together because, you know, they were like fishermen and farmers and you know, and very poor back then. And you know, I kind of remember those scents, you know, of sweat mixed with, you know, like not the most, you know, nice smells. And I kind of remember that. It brings me back to that day. So I understand this poem. And like you said, it really takes you there. And it's so well written and so well compacted and it's so beautifully written. So wonderful, right? And this has been a wonderful show, Barb. I'm so happy you stayed with me. Oh, my gracious. You are my savior today. And I hope you come back every Monday for every show, if it is, whether it's for the Brevity Show or for it's the other show. You know, you're welcome, oh, my gracious, you know, and thank you so much. And and I'd like to thank Pam, who's in the background, everything she does, Phil, Wayne for being here, Miriam, and thank you, Diane, for being my wonderful co-host. And we're going to welcome you on board as a co-host, Puddles, as soon as you give us your okay there. We're going to make you another co-host. That would be great. And so I just want to thank everybody who wrote for the show and thank you. Great rest of the week, everybody. Good night.
Good night.